One. Welcome to the Coleman to Coleman podcast. This is your boy Shannon Coleman Sr., aka The Rev, and I am here with
the wife Tamika Mallory Coleman
and the host Big Britt.
How you guys doing? We hope that you enjoyed all of the previous podcast. We have fun doing it. We are still looking for your engagement. If you have not yet, please go like, share, and subscribe. We need you guys to engage with us. And as Big Britt always says, comment below. Leave some suggestions. Talk your trash. Talk your talk. We are not afraid to engage with you. But what is this? What's this episode here, y'all?
The finale.
This is the season finale. Season one is coming to a wrap, and we're going to continue with our conversation from, what was that, episode six, where Brittany left off, and she said there was some things that she really wanted to talk to us about, and then we're just going to go into a little bit of free talk afterwards. We see the woman in the middle. She's getting a little bit more comfortable. She got the chair reclined and everything, and she got her Reeboks in the screen. So we're going to get started. Brittany, before we get started, is there anything that you want to add?
I just wanted to ask how y'all feeling. We went through a whole season together, you know, talked about y'all relationship.
I'm comfortable and advice. I am not thirsty.
Oh, okay.
You know who I'm talking to.
Thirsty. Listen, and if you are thirsty, you ain't got to, you know, you could be thirsty, but you ain't got to give. Everybody ain't going to give you a drink if you thirsty.
Oh, shut up.
Some people going to leave you thirsting.
Oh. Is there anything that you've learned about yourselves or your relationship since we started? Anything changed?
No.
Oh.
No. I mean, after 31 years, what more can you... I mean, you're always learning your partner daily. Don't get it twisted. Mm-hmm. But after 31 years, you kind of really dealing with the person that you're dealing with. I mean...
There's always room for growth. So, yeah, we do. We live, we learn, we grow, we make mistakes, we change up some things, and then we keep it pushing. Like, it's 31 years, there's still some room for growth. Did you hear that? Okay, thank you.
All right.
Teach this old dog some new tricks.
All right. Ooh. Okay, so we're going to start with the affirmative action topic. So the Supreme Court decided that colleges should not use race as a factor in their admissions. So that's the discussion, right? Should admissions to college be just merit-based? Before you get into that, right? I didn't know that race was like a factor. I personally didn't know that. When I applied to college and I got accepted, I was like, oh, like, I'm smart. I got that SAT score. Like, boo. I had no idea that, like, they were looking at the fact that I was black. Like, I didn't know that. That's a thing?
That's a thing.
And so I talked to one of my friends who's an admissions counselor, and she was like, even if they don't have, like, a certain score, like, a certain thing, they'll be like, well, maybe they don't have those same scores as the other people because of their situation, because they're a person of color, so we'll keep that in account. And I was like, oh, my God. So... what? Like, I don't like that. I don't really like that.
I don't think anything should be judged. I don't think anyone should be judged based on their race, right? But I do understand why affirmative action is a thing. Mm-hmm. Especially today, because the school systems are so uneven in different communities and different locations that for the black community to really be able to compete with someone coming out of, let's say, a suburban school that's predominantly white, right? There's no real competition when there's already a lack of school supplies, school material, learning material. You know what I mean? The education that's given in one system is different. So to bring them together into a higher learning situation... yeah, kind of a little bit.
But
it's sad to say, but it's.
But is that a race thing or is that a location thing? Because, like, I went to Central, which is a college prep, and it was one of the most diverse high schools in Philly. and there were like all different types of races, and it was predominantly black and brown, and like
we were like black and brown.
We were like doing our thing, and we all like all the us that went to college excelled.
Right.
So like, is it really because of race?
Well,
and it's a,
trigger warning. I don't care. That they got did away with affirmative action. We're living in 2023. There's so many black billionaires and millionaires and people of color that could start colleges. There's HBCUs. There's all of these things that we have right now, right? Affirmative action was made because black people were being discriminated against. Some of them couldn't get into predominantly white colleges. So they said, well, look, you got to have this many black people either working in your offices or you have to have this many black people going to your schools so that you could still get this grant money, these tax breaks, and this and that and that and this. So black people, again, became a tax break, a way to make money off of, even though they might not even had the scores. Some of them had the scores and they needed the scores, but it had got to a point to where just because you black you get in. No, you still should be educated enough to handle what it is that you're about to go into. So now, do I believe that we why do we need it? Why are we still fighting to be a part of a system, whether it be college, whether it be employment or anything else like that, that don't want you there when you have other options now? Before, you didn't have those options. You do now. So for me, it is what it is.
Okay, I feel like regardless of the race thing, I think people are putting too much emphasis on certain schools as it is.
Uh-huh.
Because as somebody who went to Gettysburg College, if I say Gettysburg College, people are like, where is that? What is that school? But like if I said Harvard or Stanford or Yale, then they know, oh, you went to that school? Okay. But is it not the same, like,
because it's like they hold
education?
They hold these schools at this higher standard because they're this is where a lot of what is Ivy League? That's a made up term that Europeans put on something to say I'm better than. So people that graduate from an HBCU, they could get some of the best education, but because it was in Harvard, I'm better than. No, you're not.
But are the professors not teaching the same thing?
Exactly. It's the curriculum. It's the person. It's people that go to that didn't go to school that's brighter than a person that went to Harvard or Yale or wherever else. So people, like you said, they're putting too much emphasis on that. You know what I mean? I don't believe that race should play a factor in anything. If you want equity and equality, then you have to meet the terms of it. Do we live in a system where systemic racism? Of course we do. But that's why we as a people need to understand our worth and our wealth and then do something about it. Not keep trying to fight to be a part of a system that don't want you there.
So you're saying college is not for everybody?
College, that certain college, you know what I mean? Why are you stressing yourself out to get in Harvard? Oh, I have to get here. Why? Why? Because, oh, it looks good on your resume. Don't nobody care about that nowadays on your resume? Let's be honest. Employers really could care less because it's so much entrepreneurship going on right now. It's so much AI and technology going on right now. It's so many, people that sit at the top that's looking for creatives right now because they trying to get this digital platform, this social platform moving for their businesses. They could care less. Can you make me money? How much money can you make me? And I'll see you at the end of the day. That's really where it is. So, I mean, again, I think, okay, if they put it back, because they say affirmative action federally, right? So it's on a state level. The state still could determine if all of this stuff is going on because they're trying to put everything back on the states. Okay, I get it. Certain states, they're very, very racist. But why are you continuing to live in those areas? Why are you continuing to dwell in those areas? Why are you continuing to give those people your money? Why are you continue to vote against your best interests? All of those things play a factor in this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what can we really complain about if we're allowing it to happen?
Exactly.
Okay.
So you mentioned this earlier, but you were like, schools today aren't really preparing students in their pursuit of higher education. Like, I'm not gonna say all schools because I rep Central all the time. That's the crimson and gold. But there are schools that exist that are very much like, we're just in it for the money. F these kids. And I see it every day. And so I don't think they're preparing them for college. But how do you change that? Is it changeable? Is it changeable? Can we do that? Can we do that?
Babe?
I think, I don't know if it can be done on a large scale. I think it's one school, one teacher, one program at a time. I think if the educational material that these schools have is based on life and what's to come and not just to pass the standardized test. I think we can do that. I think the whole school curriculum for public schools need to change. I think it needs to change from the top down. I don't think it's something that there's we teach our kids basic, or they teach our kids basic things just to get them through the next standardized test, so they can say, oh, they're average, or you know what I mean? The scores are below average or higher than average. You know what I mean? And I'm only going off of what I see my child studying. Mm-hmm. So when you, real story, my first year in community college, I had a black professor who I absolutely loved, this woman. But she made me realize just how stupid I was. When the first week of class, this woman says, now mind you, I'm like the oldest person in the class. Everybody else is fresh out of high school, right? With maybe one or two other adult learners in the class. She had us write a paragraph. The critique that came back from the paragraph was so severe and so astonishing that her response was, how do you not know how to write a proper paragraph and you're just coming out of high school? Where's your punctuation? How do you not know these things? So for me, it was like, wow. And I've been out of school for like 20 years. So I'm thinking, okay, well,
they didn't care.
How do we have this system? And mind you, this is in 2007 when I first went back to school.
Mm-hmm. She was old.
Shut up. So how do we change that? How do we fix that system across the board? Not just in Pennsylvania, not just in Philadelphia or Derby or wherever, everywhere. How do we restructure our educational system to benefit the next generation coming up?
That is definitely true, because the amount of kids that are like pushed along, like especially I teach ninth grade, there's like less than 10% of ninth graders in my school who are at ninth grade reading levels.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
There's
yes.
like actually kids who are at elementary school yes. reading levels.
Yes.
So how did they make it this far?
Because no child left behind. Mm. One of the worst bills ever created. Mm. And people were like, yay, no child left behind. No, when I was growing up, you got left back in fifth grade. You had to go repeat the fifth grade until you passed the fifth grade.
Yeah.
They didn't care if you was 25 years old in the fifth grade. You're not going until you pass the fifth grade. Now it's, oh, no, push them along. Listen, I work in mental health. And I believe every child should have the same access to education supports as needed. But when they put people that's highly on the spectrum in, you know, traditional learning classes, right? You're doing them an injustice, because they have to deal with so many other things. Mm-hmm. How are they learning if you're constantly trying to get them to learn social emotional skills, learn this, learn that? So they're putting us all in this room, 35 kids on different levels. And saying, teach here. You can't.
You can't.
Teach to the middle. What's the middle? I don't know what the middle is. Our educational system is the worst. They say America is the greatest. We're last in everything.
Because I think the bar is so low.
Sweden is higher than us. Like, I mean, come on.
Another
math, STEM programs, you know, reading, writing, all of that stuff. People can't even write in cursive anymore. Like,
But they just stopped teaching. I feel like it's because they stopped teaching.
They did.
But why?
Because they don't care. You don't have to sign a check anymore. You could just type it in.
Because I learned that in the third grade, how to write in cursive.
Of course we did. And we got graded on it, too.
Yes.
If you didn't know, you was going to fail right handwriting class. You surely were.
Why did they stop? I feel like that's such a skill.
Because they don't care.
You know, and it's sad. You know, it's sad when parents can't or don't know how to fight for their kids. When parents don't know how to intercede. I was an interceder for mine. Like, mine, no, I would do what I can to make sure you got, but you have to, if I see it, I know that there's an issue. If I don't see it because I think you got it because you're covering it, I can't help that. But at the end of the day, you can't bring me home a paper and say, oh, you got 100 on it, and then when I'm reading through it, you got
all those errors.
8 misspelled words, no punctuation, no capital letters, or no nothing. And your teacher says, oh, because we grade on the curves. Don't grade on the curve.
Are we just
teach these kids. What are you teaching them?
Or we just want to see if they can write it. We don't care, which I understand, because some kids have learning disabilities. I went through my whole years at elementary, high school, everything with dyslexia. Nobody knew I had dyslexia. How did I graduate high school with dyslexia? When I came out, I could barely read, spell, but I made it, right? So with that on me, it was a fear to ever even try to go to a higher education. When I turned 19 and I got assessed, shout out to OVR, Office of Vocational Rehabilitation. When I got assessed and they said, oh, you dyslexic. I said, oh, that makes sense. And from then on, I pursued, okay, all right, this is what I need to do. This is how I need to do it. You know, and it caused me depression. It caused me anxiety. It caused me to act up in the classrooms. And a lot of these teachers aren't equipped to assess children. They don't, they want to diagnose some ADHD, ODD, this one, that one. No, they can't. They have an issue learning. They don't understand. So now we're going to avoid. We're going to escape. We're not going to stay in the classroom. We're going to be the class clown. We're going to be the bully. We're going to do all of these things so that you can kick me out of the classroom. Mm-hmm. So I'm not embarrassed in front of everybody because I can't read that the, this, is, was, going. I don't know. Right? So when I got assessed and I learned that, I said, okay, cool. And it still took me years to go back to college. Now I'm working towards my doctorate degree. Who would have thought? Shout out to all those people that called me dumb and said, I'll never make it. Peace to you. And you know what I'm saying?
Not only that, like, it's too easy to label a kid as being, as having behavior issues.
Yes.
It's easy to say, oh, he's just a bad kid or she's just a bad kid that don't want to learn, instead of sitting down and really someone really taking a look at this child overall to figure out what the issue is. If you got 25, 30 kids in your classroom,
35,
and you got 10 of those 35 that are acting out, it's too easy to send them, like you said, to the principal's office or whatever, to really sit down and assess where they are to understand. But again, that goes back to what you said, Britt. You got kids in the seventh grade that are actually on a fourth grade reading level. They don't understand the work that's being given to them. They don't understand, you know what I mean, how. So what better way to get out of doing the work is to
act the fool.
Yeah.
So, and then also you got to think about this too. Like, Back to Coleman to Coleman and marriage and stuff like that. We have 5 kids between us. Our oldest son, and he wouldn't mind. We got him all the help that he needed. He had wraparound services. He was really struggling. Justice, because of her seizures and everything like that, we kind of didn't really pay attention to maybe some of the shortcomings with her education. We wasn't really paying attention. Little Shannon, we thought he had it because when he started off, he was it. It was like he would go to school, do his thing, until that one teacher marked his paper up red because he talked about Batman and Superman. I'm sorry, Batman and Spider-Man fighting, and Batman used the guns, and she said it was violence and all this little other stupid stuff. So I think that kind of crushed him when it came to education and learning, because it was like he was excited about that story. And she marked my boy paper up with all these red marks and, you know, try to get him expelled, all this whole crazy stuff. Mind you, we moved to Delaware County. It was still races up there. And you got to be careful with those teachers too. They will break a child. They would try to break that child to make them feel like they're nothing. It's still racism in the school systems. And some of these Caucasian teachers will try to break your child because they don't want them to excel. And that's kind of what happened with him. And then he fell back. And he may have struggled with some things, but we didn't know it because we felt like, oh, he used to read, he used to do this, he used to do that. And when he fell off, we kind of didn't really pay attention. So now with the 14-year-old, we're more on her, right? Her learning style is different. We know she can't go to a traditional classroom. If she goes to a traditional classroom, she's going to fail. We saw it. Homeschooling, she excels. She knows the work. She puts effort in the work. She writes her paper. She does her math. She does everything. But if she in that classroom, Lord Jesus. You know what I mean? So you got to look at the child. And then for my daughter, my daughter that lives in Virginia, she loves going to the classroom. She loves learning. She loves reading. She loves writing. But does she struggle on certain things? Yes. But I notice it because I struggle with some of them things. So her spelling is not the best. She could read a chapter book in a couple days and tell you what she read. But you ask her to spell a word. It's going to be like, ooh, baby. But you recognize the weaknesses that your kids have. And the teachers, sorry parents, they cannot help your child more than you.
It's a partnership. It has to be a partnership. You have to be able to go to school. And I have to be able to trust that when my kid comes to school, my kid is going to learn whatever it is that you're teaching them. But when they come home, it's my job to continue that learning. Yes. It's my job to sit down with them during homework time or study time to make sure that they're putting in the effort after school. You know what I mean? We don't just come home from school and get right on the phone or lay down and take a nap or get right on the video game. You have to do something after school. Don't get me wrong. I am not the best parent when it comes to kids in school, but I do what I know to do and do it to the best of my ability, right? With that being said, if the parent doesn't recognize my oldest son, and I love him, when he was in first grade, I knew that he was struggling with something, but the school system wouldn't test him for anything until he hit third grade. So by the time he hit third grade, he's two grades behind. Right. So again, it's a partnership between the teachers, the parents, and the students. Students have to want to learn.
Advocate for your children, parents. If you do not advocate for your children, who's going to be their voice?
And there are programs and places and things out there that will help you advocate. There's a whole legal system set up to help kids through that system.
Yes.
You just got to dig a little deep, do a little research. And the research today is better than it was 20 years ago because the internet has pretty much everything you need to know. You know what I mean? Ask Google, they'll tell you.
So, unpopular opinion. I am all for advocating for your kids. As a teacher, it's hard sometimes.
It is.
Because there will be times where the kid is acting up or something happens where I have to call the parent, and the parent is looking at me like, well, what did you do? Tell my kid for them to do that? Yeah. Or what did... Like, and I'm like... And what do you mean?
And that's where the partnership comes through.
Exactly.
That's where the partnership sets in. That's when the parent, because I know my kid ain't perfect. I know my kid did something. But I need to hear both sides of the story. Because my kid can come home all day and say, oh, she did this because she racist and this and that. Okay, but let me figure out, because I know you on the back end. And I know what you will and will not do. I know how you will and will act up when you're around other people. So let me get her side of the story. Never do I think a parent should show up to the school rowdy.
But that happens.
It does.
I taught, so I know what you mean.
It happens a lot.
So
it happens a lot.
Some of these parents, like, oh, you getting bullied? All right, pop up to school, beats up the kid.
Yeah. I taught first grade. And the father approached me at dismissal. At dismissal about his child. And I said, excuse me, sir. We're not going to do that right here. And I told the child, I said, tell your dad what you did. Right? Because as a parent, yes, you want to protect your child, but you also need to come with some sort of respect, understanding that children are going to be children. Mm-hmm. And they're not going to act the same way mm-hmm. in front of you that they are in school. Some of them, because some parents just don't care. And they let the kid run wild. Mm-hmm. But for those parents that really want to see their children succeed and do better, mm-hmm. it's like, okay, let's talk. Let's have these conversations. The school education should be an extension of the home and vice versa, right? What you learn at home, that's how you should act in school. So parents should have times where your kids are sitting down quietly. Parents should have time when you're sitting and you're talking to your child about their day. Parents should have times when you're, you know, just engaging your child. Mm-hmm. So that way when they get into the school system, they understand, okay, this is instructional learning time. Mm-hmm. I need to stop. I need to listen. I need to pay attention. I need to get what this adult is saying.
But here's the thing, Britt. Because to be in your situation, I get the difficulty of it. So if you have that kid whose parent you can partner with that parent. Mm-hmm. Some parents... It's just not going to happen. And the sad part is, at the end of the day, the only person that's going to suffer through that is that kid.
Yeah.
That kid, unless that kid really wants something out of life, that kid's going to struggle for the rest of his life trying to find his place in this world because there's no structure at home. Mm-hmm. The structure in school was disrupted. And now the structure of the world, because the world ain't nice. The world don't care if you're a little black boy, little black girl. You are, and I used to tell my kids this all the time, especially my sons. As a black male, you are set up to fail. You have got to overcome, especially if you have learning disabilities. You have to work to overcome those disabilities because the world is not going to be kind enough to say, oh, it's okay. You can still have this job because you have a disability. But how successful can you, you get? You know, me and my kids, you used to literally talk about, you know, they used to say they want jobs or whatever, and they're going to be millionaires when they turn 18 and this and that.
Had their own house, this, that, the third.
McDonald's don't support your life. McDonald's, working at McDonald's and Burger King and department stores and stuff like that, it doesn't support your life. It doesn't pay your rent.
Access
it doesn't
Howard
pay your mortgage. It or doesn't even get you a mortgage. It doesn't pay your electric bill or light bill. So if you have a disability, we have to install in these kids that it's going to take work for you to overcome those disabilities.
Yes.
It's going to take work on my end to help you overcome those disabilities. Yes. It's going to take a partnership between me, your teacher, and your parent, and you to come together to figure out how to best help you to overcome. Because when you step out of this world, because when you're 18, you grown, remember? And you want to do what you want to do, and you want to come and go in as you want. How are you going to support that?
Mm-hmm. Ask us how we know. We worked department stores. We were janitors. We were the hotels. We worked here. We did it. And we struggled with three kids.
And we that's on a Section 8 program trying to make it through.
Oh, Lord, we ain't
even. You know what I mean?
We had assistance. This is the crazy thing about the Section 8 thing. And then we're going to go to the next topic.
Yeah.
But we got to. This Section 8 thing. My wife and I, when we came back from Georgia, when I had the three blood clots in my head, and we came home, we were looking for program. Shout out to my cousin. She helped us get on a housing program. Mm-hmm. And we got us a little apartment, right? And then we waited for our Section 8 to come through. Mm-hmm. So our Section 8 came through. We had two kids at the time. And we said, you know what? We moving out of West Philly. We're going to go to the county. So we went to Delaware County in Upper Darby. This was in 95, 96. Mm-hmm. So we moved to Upper Darby. We was like, all right, cool. It was kind of chill, you know what I mean? Then in the 96, going to 97, she found out she was pregnant with Shannon. And we ended up moving to a house in Upper Darby. I'm not going to say the block because we, yeah. But we stayed on Section 8, right? We did the Section 8 thing, but while we were on Section 8, we worked towards something. Our certain family members was, why y'all working? Why y'all doing this? Y'all only got to pay this much for rent. You crazy. You this. You that. What? That's a poverty mindset to me.
You got
to
want more.
Exactly. So we always work towards more, getting more, being more. It took us some time to get there, but we could not stay with that mindset. We could have. We could still be on Section. I still got the disability that helped us get it. That disability ain't go nowhere, but do I walk in it? No, I don't, because I always wanted more. And that's what people got to understand. Regardless of you have a physical, mental, whatever type of disability, that should not determine your lifestyle. It should not determine who you are. You should always push for something more. Greater.
Yep.
Okay, so moving on to the next topic. This is actually from a viewer. Should there be an age limit for how long a person can be in Senate or Congress?
Yes.
Or any of that?
Say it again, babe.
The example that this person used was when Mitch McConnell was talking, he has
Alzheimer's.
And then he just froze.
He has either Alzheimer's, dementia, something like that.
And they were like, hello, like, yeah. Are you good? Yeah. Also, I didn't know Biden was as old as he is.
Yeah, he ain't true.
And so, yeah, so should there be an age limit? Because there is one, like, you have to be what, like 30?
To run. I think it's even 30 or 35, something like that, to run, yeah.
So should there be like a cap where you're like...
But that's for president, I think. But for Senate, for Congress and all that, I think is you could run, yeah. But go ahead, babe.
I think, especially in the Senate,
the House, too.
The House. They don't... There should be an age limit. You should retire. You should not be in the Senate for 50 years. Like, there's no... Like, again, there's... as you and I was talking this morning, it's a little bit of a difference, but it's an old system. Trying to work in a newer generation. So when you have old systems and old policies and old policy writers and old, you know what I mean, things that you bring some of those same old ideas and views and ideologies into the new.
Hence affirmative action. I'm sorry.
Into a generation that
no longer lives there. You were born in 1901 and you're writing policies for kids that were born in 2000. It makes no sense. Like, it literally makes no sense. It should be term limits for everything. When you vote for president, you should be voting for your senators. You should be voting for your congressmen. You should be voting for your governors. You should be voting for everybody. And it should still be make it 2-term limits for everybody.
Right. That's what I don't understand. Why does the president get 2 terms? And everybody else can keep coming back.
Because I think there's a hierarchy. Even though, like, it's like, oh, like the branches of government and like they're all equal. Like, no. I feel like the presidency, there's a hierarchy when it comes to it, so they don't want somebody to be like too long in power. Because imagine the president could be president for 10 years.
He don't have power. No power.
Okay,
the power is
power
in the Senate, in the House.
Yes,
they write all the bills. All he do is veto or say yes. So, and if it's an all, listen, this is an example I want to give you, Britt. You have an all Republican House, an all Republican Senate, or all Democratic House, or all Democratic Senate, either way, and you have a Democratic or Republican president. What? That's the only way the power is really going to work in that sense.
If the president matches the
Senate and the House. That's it. Because if not, guess what? Ain't nothing getting done.
Okay, but I don't just mean like in that sense. I also mean like other countries, when they look at us, they're not being like, oh, that one senator, blah, blah, blah. No, they're looking at the president first.
They're looking at the Congress.
Really?
They're looking at the American Congress or the American judicial system. That's what they really look at.
So you think like other countries are like, look at that judge or look at that senator. Or you're looking at the president.
I think they're saying look at the setup as a whole.
Yeah, so here's my idea.
I don't think that it's just one man or one. I think they're looking at the setup. Like, it's supposed to be a democracy. But yeah, which we're not. We're a republic.
Even the countries that aren't democracies, they see it as like, no, there's a person that should be at top. So
who's
your top?
What does the president really do?
At top. He's the face of the organization.
That's what I'm saying. He's the face.
Yes, but that's it. That's all he does. He's the face.
But that's what I'm saying. I feel like that's why the terms are shorter for presidency, because you can only be the face for so long.
It should be that way across the board.
The face has no power. What I'm saying is we need to match everything need to match across the board. I think we need to just do away with the whole Constitution and restart and do it all over again. I think our government should look like the United Nations. I do. It's too many people of too many different nationalities, too many different ethnicities, too many different everything that lives here in America. America is a pot of gumbo. We have all kinds of stuff, flavors going on. Mm-hmm. It should not be all white old men making laws for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It just shouldn't. And some of the stuff that was written in the Constitution is no longer. We don't have horse and buggies no more. Right? We have highways. We have this. We have that. It's time to change.
It should reflect the times.
Mm-hmm. And it don't. Our policies is so, like you say, it's an organization. America is an organization. The president is basically the EO of the company that could get voted in and out. The board is the Congress and the Senate. That's the board, right? Mm-hmm. So if the board can veto the president of the United States, they can say, not veto, impeach, kick him out. Then why can't we do that with everybody? We should be able to say, you know what, Senator, and not just in an election year. You know what? You're not it. You got to go. I know we said you could be the governor, but and the Constitution say we're supposed to be able to do that. But can we?
No.
Or would that be considered trying to overthrow the government?
Muni.
Like, it's an old system and it's flawed. It's time to make it better.
Yeah.
And until we do that, we're going to keep running into these same issues. Mm-hmm. I don't care. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't care about the president. Right? I care about local Congress. Because mm-hmm. local Congress is what makes the bills for us mm-hmm. and our communities.
Yeah.
If our school board representative is trash, if our mayor's trash, if our, local, what is it? Where the person in the community, like district, whatever, congressperson is trash. Guess what?
The whole neighborhood.
The neighborhood is trash.
Yeah. The president can't do anything about that.
Mm. Nothing.
Yeah.
But everybody run to vote in the presidency. So when do we vote?
For our local elections. Who are we putting in place? Who's stealing the money? Police force trash. Why? Because the chief is trash. Like, the mayor is trash. Everybody's trash. But we put these people in place. The judges that you vote for, trash. But you put them there.
Even if they didn't vote, they still put them there.
Because you didn't vote.
Yeah.
That's why I hate voting down party lines. That's the stupidest thing ever. Oh, I'm a Democrat. I'm voting all Democrat. Even though you know this Democrat trash. I'm a Republican. I'm going to vote all Republican. Even though you know they trash. Make them earn your vote. They work for you.
Yeah.
What we always shout is, you work for me. You work for me. I'm a citizen. What are you doing, citizen? That's why our educational system is trash. Because we don't go to the school board meetings.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That is true.
Okay.
That is true. Yeah.
We got to do better.
We do. Okay, moving on. Update. Keke Palmer. There's an update. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because we talked about it on the podcast
say
before.
Shannon, you did tell me.
About what? That she made it an opportunity?
Yes.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah.
As she should.
Uh-huh. But they back together.
The man? But
yeah,
the man?
They were out. They did a
yeah,
whole
thing. Yeah, they got back together.
They doing their thing.
Yeah.
It was all a plea. They make some money. It was a scam. That's what I told people. It was a scam.
I still don't follow.
It was for publicity. It was a publicity stunt.
The only reason why I like agree with that is because she never said anything. Like, she never made a statement like,
she just made music. Blah, 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 blah.
She just made music.
Clothing and rhyme, so I'm like, soul.
If your man
smart
called you out on social media and you're dead silent, that must mean something, right? In my head. And so when she came out with the music video with Usher, and at the end she was like, I'm a mom after all. Oh my God. I was like, she used it.
Still have no idea what you're talking about. But
did you
okay.
see the clothes?
Really?
Did you see the clothes? Did you see the clothing line?
Yes.
Yeah, they making money. You know he getting some of that. Come on.
I don't follow.
And that's why okay. I'm like, we get ourselves caught up in the nonsense yeah. for nothing.
I don't get
basically,
caught up.
In the last episode, we talked about how Keke Palmer went to an Usher concert. She uh-huh. was wearing a revealing dress.
Yeah, I remember
that. That, right? So she never addressed it. Then Usher and her make a song together called Boyfriend, where he's like talking about, if your boyfriend's calling for me, then tell him I'm right here or whatever, stuff like that. And then at the end of the music video, she like wakes up and she's like, oh my gosh, I was late or I missed it. I'm a mother after all. And she looks at the camera and she's like, and then everybody's like, oh wow. Because that's the comment that he made on, her man made.
It was a whole way for her to stay relevant. And guess what? She got all these awards. She got all this old other stuff. She made more money than she made in a minute. Like, she, like, come on. And he's sitting there like, ching, ching, ching,
but
ching,
here's another, ching, but here's marketing. Another thing, because she never changed. Like,
only
there
thing,
was no...
The change with Keke Palmer, she's always been loud.
Yes, but...
But she the thing that changed with her was really because everybody said, oh, she got a baby body now.
Yeah.
So she could show her body all she wants. Yeah, you can, it's your body. However, it's still a certain way that I feel like, and that's just me, you should carry yourself, right?
As a mom or just in general?
Just in general.
Okay.
I'm not just talking about moms. I believe it's everybody. Okay. So, she used it. She used it to her advantage. This is what Hollywood do.
Smart marketing.
There's no such thing as bad publicity. Smart. All publicity is good publicity. I want somebody to talk trash. Talk trash. Let the algorithm go up.
Yeah.
Let me trend.
Mm-hmm.
Trending means what? Money.
Yeah. And so with that, it's like, with the whole, like, she never changed, like, even after being called out, she still dresses the way she dresses. On her 30th birthday, she was out here, like, showing all her booty cheeks. And she got his birthday, her man's birthday, tattooed right
they
under
were,
her booty cheeks.
Yes, they were out in the street together.
Who cares?
People, because now everybody's sitting there like, oh, Keke, you wrong. Keke, you don't be mad at her because you fell for the okie doke.
Who cares?
I crack up when I read comments because I'm like, you fell for the okie doke, now you mad at her because she didn't break up with her man? Because you, girl, you know he can't tell you what to do. You got played.
Mm-hmm.
So now you mad at Keke because you got played.
Who cares?
It was a one woman. It was,
who cares?
This is the thing.
Who cares?
This is the thing. It was this.
My question is, what is Keke Palmer in her boyfriend's life contributing?
Well,
to anybody's life right now, like is
I'm gonna tell you this.
It's something to talk
this
about.
This is the thing.
You
for
know
me.
I don't care. It is.
This is the thing for me. I got into a conversation about Chloe and Holly, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about them doing a reunion album, right?
Okay.
And somebody was talking about how they couldn't make it as solo artists, right? And I'm like, well, they did all right. Chloe did better than Holly a little bit because, oh, she did? Because, listen, and like I said, the reason why Chloe did a little bit better than Holly was because she had to change her image.
Okay.
Because remember, Chloe didn't dress or do any stuff that she did. When she changed her image... And she became the new Sasha Fierce. She blew up. She was all over social media. She was all everywhere, right? And I was like, but Holly has a different style. And people were talking trash about her. They were saying she'd never be like her. She'd never. I'm glad that her song did 10 million, right? Beautiful song. I love it. And I said, and that's what I said. I said, I like Angel because Angel represents a lot more. Yeah. I said, and they was like, well, the girl said something about me being misinformed and all this. She don't make her music. I said, you're right. She don't make her music for me. She makes it for my adult daughter and my teenage daughters. And I don't want them to really think that showing your booty cheeks and twerking and all this and all that is the thing. Mm-hmm. Because that's my preference. And so she said we could disagree and all this or whatever. And I'm like, well, it is what it is. Both of them are beautiful young ladies. Both of them are talented, gifted artists. They both can produce. They both can write. They both can sing. However, one had more of the limelight because she showed more skin. It's a fact. Okay. And people don't want to believe that that's a fact.
Okay.
And I'm like, it's the truth. She sold out more concerts. She did all of this stuff. More views, more streams because they wanted to see her shake her behind.
So here's what I'm going to say to that. I think Halle's more successful, at least in terms of revenue, just because, first of all, Disney.
The movie, yeah.
Being the Little Mermaid, that probably made her a
millionaire. But they said that flopped.
Really? Because really? Didn't it do better than Aladdin? And Aladdin got like millions of...
But people call it a flop. Because
really?
You know the narrative. Come on, Brittany.
Because of the whole Black Mermaid?
Exactly.
Okay, but still, like, did you see like the how much push there was and how they made the doll that the Black Ariel?
Oh,
in Disneyland, there's a Black Ariel.
Yeah, I feel you. I agree. Because
this was the season and now the season's over.
No, because Black people want to see skin. They want to see nudity. Mm. They want to see nakedness. And the sad part about it is when you see something that's uplifting, it's not going to get as much traction because they don't want it to go out there that this person is doing something that's uplifting. They want the whore, the thug mentality to be on the front page and on streaming and trending so that because that's what Black people like.
And another reason why I say that I think Halle's more, at least revenue, because when Chloe came to Philly for her tour, the first half of her tour, I think Fillmore, it wasn't sold out. It was not sold out. In fact, they were trying to get rid of tickets. So they were giving away tickets for free. They were selling them for $5, $7, just because they were trying to like make sure that it was full in there. She did not sell out. And I'm pretty sure that happened in multiple venues
of
where
course.
It did not sell out.
Of course.
But like...
But the narrative is...
The way Halle was put on display during the movie season.
Yeah.
And now that she released this and it's still pushing that narrative about loving yourself as a Black woman. That's her image.
And they don't want
and
that.
And she's thriving in that image.
But they don't
she
want it.
Have
so
to show
the
her
so the narrative is she will never be as and I'm like, you're wrong. They called this girl ugly, they called her this, they called her that. It was all I'm like, yo, y'all tripping. Why? Because she's not showing her cheeks. She don't have to. She
doesn't have to.
And I said,
her voice speaks for herself.
And I said, I hope that she does not fall for the peer pressure.
Yeah.
And change her image because that's what they want.
Yeah.
I hope she don't.
I don't think she is.
I hope she don't.
I don't think she is. Especially knowing who she's dating and she hasn't fallen into that yet. I don't think she's
going to fall for it. I hope she stay true to herself.
Because even... people still see her as like the innocent one, like the little sweet one. But if you actually watched her live,
exactly,
she's like a completely different person.
Different person, and that's what I'm saying.
She's harder than Chloe.
Yeah.
Who's she dating?
Yes,
but DDG.
But
who?
This oh.
She's 50.
She's dating this rapper named DDG. He used to be a YouTuber and then he became a rapper. Mm. And like he has a whole other. Ooh.
Did you just say I'm 50?
You are 50. But
that got to do with anything?
Because you don't know these young people. I barely know them. The only reason why I know them is because I work with a bunch of young people. So I have to kind of stay relevant on this thing. Because so one of the, if a teenager come in my office and say, Mr. Shannon, da, 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 and I'm sitting there like, oh, hold on, let me Instagram. No, so I gotta see, I kind of gotta stay relevant. So so that I could be able to talk to them on their level. The Bible says, be all things to all people so that you might win a few. I had to put that in there. So I have to do what I have to do.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's to me is, but again, both of them are beautiful young women, right? One of them just wanted to get the mantle passed on from Beyonce, and she took that mantle and she did what she did. And I know the Beehive, they're going to hear that name and they're going to probably come in, what he say about B? Oh, he better not be talking about B.
No, speaking of B, I feel, I mean, the viewers can correct me if I'm wrong, but I do feel like Beyonce pushed Halle more than she pushed Chloe.
Halle or Chloe?
Halle.
You think
when
so?
When did Beyonce post Chloe? When she was like, oh, look at her.
Her and her mother did.
Posted?
Her mother was at, her mother actually was in one of her
was
videos.
Was there or was there, were they no, her mother was on her gram?
No, her mother was actually in one of her videos.
In the video.
And she pushed it. She put it on.
Beyonce's mom?
Yeah. Her Beyonce's mom, yeah. She did a whole thing with it and everything on YouTube, all that stuff. Yeah, they pushed
really?
Chloe. Yeah, they pushed Chloe. Because
there's literally like
her dad actually had a conversation about he didn't like her and she could never replace Beyonce because people was like, oh, she the next B, she the next this, she the next that. So it was a whole big thing.
Yeah, but I feel like there was a part of YouTube that was like Beyonce isn't like,
because that's the narrative. So you gotta have a positive, you gotta have a negative so that you could push the narrative.
I just think I visually saw Beyonce like pushing it, especially because she has daughters.
Literally, she pushed.
In terms of The Little Mermaid.
Of course, the Little Mermaid. Every black celeb has daughters,
so she was like, ooh, like this girl is.
Yeah, every black celeb with daughters was pushing the Little Mermaid.
But I've yet to have.
Oh, she pushed Chloe's music. She pushed her music.
Okay.
Of course, she's going to push their music. Think about it. She their manager. They under her label.
Okay.
She gets paid every time they get paid. It's a pyramid scheme. She come on.
Yeah. Okay, so last topic. I centered this question around Doja Cat because I didn't want to mention like other artists and then we talk about what they did. So specifically Doja Cat because she's current. The first part is, can you separate the art from the artist? And what's more important, the message or the presentation?
All right, so I'm gonna go first
because
my response is gonna be kind of limited because again I just found out who Doja Cat was this morning. Can you separate the artist from the art? I think they're one and the same. I think they represent themselves through their art.
Okay,
right. I think that what you see is a reflection of where they are mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, right?
Okay.
Some people write their best music when they're going through some
depression,
stuff, and
anxiety,
some people, you know, do their best work when they're at the highlight of their life, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think from what I've learned about her so far.
Yeah. Keep it funky.
She cut her eyebrows. Like, that tells me there's something else going on.
Well, people cut their eyebrows off and throw them on every day.
There's something. They do. And then they get them tattooed. But that's okay.
Is it?
No. I think there's something else going on. I think some things that happen in the industry, because I'm not familiar and I'm not there, but what you see, does the presentation... What was the question?
What's more important, the message or the presentation?
So people respond more to what they see before they really listen to things. So the presentation goes a long way.
I agree.
That's like your first impression of someone when you first see them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So before you get to the point where you can literally sit down and listen to their music or listen or watch what they're doing, what you're seeing is their image first, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think the image goes a long way. I think if you put the image of who she is today with what you showed me from her previous, I think there's obviously an issue there. I personally would say it's demonic, but that, again, only going off of what I learned this morning, today, or this afternoon, because I don't know. I don't follow. But I think there's something else under the surface going on with this baby.
I agree. Nobody said her cutting off her eyebrows is demonic.
No,
people cut their eyebrows off and pluck their eyelashes. They better.
No.
You cut your eye, and then I'm gonna get to that. Okay, I'm gonna get to that. Brit.
No, don't.
But
take
this
that
was. I'm not baby. Mm-hmm. This is. I had a conversation about that. Why you cut your eyebrows off? Your eyelashes. Pluck your eyelashes. And then you get it tattooed or you draw it on, and then you put the fake ones on here. It's like, for what? No, you are human. Stop it. Anyway.
I mean, because they can't get it on their own.
No, so but some of them have it, and they cut it off, and then it's like some women, I love women. I love women. I love you ladies. You are the God. When God created woman, he did the best. Listen. But some of the stuff is weird. Like, okay, you got a head full of hair down your back. You cut it all off, and you wear a wig. Like, that don't make sense. Like, it's like, okay, do you? That's your thing, but why? You know, you got eyelashes. Where your eyes? You got hold on, but you got eyelashes. Why pluck them all out and then get some surgically implanted? What?
Because they thicker.
What?
I don't know.
You got brows. You got brows. You cut your brows off, and then you paint them on, or you get them tattooed on. What? I woke up like this. No, you didn't. You weren't born like that. Like, stop playing. Anyway, Doja Cat, for instance, all right, cool. It is what it is. A couple of my homies was talking about it. It did. She changed. But Hollywood has that effect on people. Hollywood could take an innocent and turn them into whatever they want to turn them into. You know, you said you didn't want to mention other artists that have been through it. It's so many other artists that went to Hollywood and came out messed up. They went in there. They were innocents. They came to make music, enjoy life, and they get there and boom, all kinds of hell broke loose. And honestly, a lot of them come out and they talk about the rituals that they have to, you know, perform so that they can be the people that they want to be in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
Literally having to sell their soul to be, you know, relevant.
Yeah.
And sadly, it looks like this one may have gotten caught up in that. And now they're changing their whole image. Or it could have been something that was in her that she just wanted to get out. We don't know.
We don't know.
But the thing is, it's something there, right?
Yeah.
And the thing, and the sad part about it is you have a whole influence on a lot. And that's my thing. You have a whole generation that you're influencing.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be careful with the power that you have, because it wills consequences. People say, oh my, you know, it's a decision. Yeah, it is true. It is a decision. But the thing is, what you this we living in a society today where programming is a thing. The more you see something on TV, the more you hear something, the more it's replayed in your life, there's a greater chance that you might become that. Right. I love it when people say, especially our young parents, our children and young, you know, young adults today, they say, you did it when I was younger. So I got to make those same mistakes that you made. That's crazy to me. Right. Especially if you didn't like it when you were younger. Mm-hmm. So you didn't like something that I did when you were younger, but yet you're going to turn around and do the same exact thing that I did that you didn't like. What sense does that make?
Yeah.
That girl came out, she had a squeaky clean, you know what I'm saying, type of image. We don't know if that was the image that she wanted, right?
Yeah.
And now that this is who she truly is. Mm-hmm. We don't know.
That goes back to was she Britney influenced? Spears. Britney Spears did the same thing. Yeah. And I'm aging myself, but Britney Spears did the same thing. She came out Mickey Mouse, you
right?
Know what I mean?
And then boom,
and then she was this, and Christina Aguilera,
same thing.
You know what I mean?
So Christina Aguilera never really changed her image.
It's a trend.
That's why she didn't really go too far.
It's a
certain
trend in Hollywood.
The people that don't want to change that image or become what they want them to be tend to fall off and not get any more airplay. right? So it's just what it is. Like going back to the Keke Palmer situation. Remember, a killer and a bee. Remember who she presented herself when she was on these interviews and she was first coming out. She was this sweet little girl with these Christian parents, with this the preacher dad, all this whole other stuff, right?
Now she's who she is.
That's who she want to be as a young adult. Will she come back to that? We don't know. Will she live a long enough life to be that again? Or is she like Pac? What Tupac said. Tupac said, I had to become this so that people can hear me. Tupac never wanted it, people took his message the wrong way when he got Thug Life and all that stuff. It meant something totally different than what society claimed it to be. Mm-hmm. Because the man still fed the homeless. He housed people. He did all kinds of stuff. He protected people in the community. He wanted to do so much more for the community, which he never got to do because he had to change his image just so people can listen to his music, just so he can make the money to do what he wanted to do in the community. And he died by that because that's the image that people saw him as. So I don't know, this girl, maybe she just doing it so that she can make the money and give back to her community, or maybe she doing it because she's a Satanist. We don't know. You know what I mean?
So here's what I'm gonna say about it. I don't know if it's because I have such loving experiences within the arts. I love the arts, especially theater. But I, as somebody who was born and raised Christian, can look at her music and not be like demonic, satanic, all that stuff, because I'm thinking about the message. That's what I originally see. Like, yes, I see her climbing walls looking like
a demon,
Venom or something. Like,
no, that's not Venom.
But like,
dark in the shadow.
I see that, but I'm able to look past that and not just cut it off completely, which is what I feel like a lot of people do. So like, for example, with Lil Nas X, right? People saw that video and they thought he was making a mockery out of Christianity. And when he was like, he had a chance to go to heaven and then he just slid down a stripper pole and went to hell and all that stuff, people were like, oh my God, like, this is bad, like, satanic or whatever. And then he came out and he was like, when I was a kid, I was bullied for being gay and people kept telling me I was gonna go to hell for being gay. So if I'm gonna go to hell, I might as well be the king of hell. And that's not really the best, like,
first of all, you can't be the king of hell, but go ahead.
But like that, like in his head, he was like, that's, if that's where y'all think I'm gonna go, at least I'm gonna make it a better situation for myself. And I think that mindset,
that society,
would not have been created if they didn't bully him for being gay. Like, if there wasn't this homophobic thing.
So,
right?
Go ahead.
So like, he made that song to express, like, y'all really pushed me like that. So for this with Doja, and she's talking about, y'all think I'm a cash cow, y'all think I'm an industry plant, y'all, like, this and that. Now her music is reflecting what she feels about what society is trying to put on her.
So who called her a cash cow? Who called her an industry
someone
plant?
In her life.
Yes.
Okay.
In
okay.
In
so
life.
So that's, to me, is for someone that's been called gay, for someone that's been called dumb, for someone that's been called, said that would never make it in life, would never graduate school, would never have a degree, would never have a family, would never have. If I would have reflected my life around all of that, mm-hmm. where would I be today? That's foolishness. So just because somebody says something, somebody bullies you, or somebody says or whatever, does not mean you have to become that, right? Okay. He said, Lil Nas X, for instance, he said, oh, I'll be the king. First of all, that's just foolish thinking to me. You be the king. No, you won't be the king of hell, because it's a place for Satan and his angels. Anyway, so to even put that in the music, you are. You have a spotlight, right? There's so many different ways where you can say, I'm going to be an advocate for the LGBTQ community besides that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So many ways. So many healthier ways. Healthier ways for you to do that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know what I mean? It's same thing for her. It's so many healthier ways. Because now we have a generation, sadly, of followers. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, what they see on TV, they think that thing is real life.
Yeah.
So now you got them believing, oh, this is the thing to do. And it's really not, because you rich. You rich.
This is what you got to do to be noticed. But here's my thing.
You rich. You don't have to live with the backlash and the consequences of half of the stuff that some of these normal, everyday people have to deal with.
Here's my thing. If people in the industry, outside of the industry, get to a place to where they love themselves, know themselves.
There you go.
Those people, those negative Nancys in our life, don't have no power. Mm-hmm. We give them power by succumbing to those things that they say about us. We give those people who says that she's a cash cow power by altering
who we are,
to fit them, because this is what they say.
And now you're becoming a cash cow because it's selling.
So yes, but like, it's selling, and she's doing that. She's
but who's getting rich off of her?
But is she really benefiting from it?
Yes.
And what does she have to sacrifice? What is she sacrificing for that?
That's the question. Does she
own much of herself?
Does she own her music?
I don't know.
Does she own her masters?
I would hope so.
If she signed to a deal, no, she doesn't.
Somebody else is getting rich off of her.
So she's still being a cash cow, ridiculous. Regardless, if she signed a deal, depending on what that deal states, and this is what a lot of artists don't know, you don't own nothing until you're able to buy those masters back. And you better hope you're able to afford it, because somebody else can come up and buy it underneath you, and you still work for them. New Edition. Puffy owned them. They made great music when I was growing up. They don't even own their music. So the thing is, you are a cash cow. Mm. Somebody's getting rich off of you. But do you have to alter your person to try to say, oh, this,
to fit someone else's narrative?
Prince put Slave on his face when he did it. He ain't go around doing no demonic stuff. He just wrote the word slave. Because he couldn't, because they were trying to control his narrative until he was able to buy back his stuff. Michael Jackson, they don't really care about us until he was able to own his stuff. So it's a certain way you can do it.
Yeah.
But you don't have to, come on now, really.
Go into that demonic.
Come on.
Okay, but what other people are like, they'll just shy away from, but like, yet the music video is based off of American Horror Story. Which is like a famous movie.
Oh, yeah.
Meek. Yeah. Like everything.
Never watched it.
Never heard of that. Never watched it. Yeah. Never whatever. But like.
She 50.
Shut up. They ain't got nothing to do with nothing.
But that didn't. That. Okay. Anyway.
I got you.
So like.
We get
I'm
all
thinking
of that.
About the
what
people.
What about the socials,
the
though?
The director. Brittany. Of the music video. I'm thinking about the videographer. I'm thinking about the audio people. I'm thinking about the costume designer. Like, that is a lot of hard work.
Cash cow. So this is the
but
thing.
But people are just like, demonic. Okay, what about all those people that work under her that made her look the way she
but
looked?
Here's,
like, they're,
but here's my
cash
thing.
Cow.
They don't deserve. But here's,
cash
here's,
cow.
Here's my thing. Demonic doesn't necessarily reflect her. As you said, there's a whole bunch of
exactly.
entities into play.
Exactly.
That plays into who she is. Yeah. And because she
exactly.
can't be who she wants to be and do things exactly the way she wants to,
she's still
she has
under
to conform
that system.
To them.
Exactly.
In order to keep her music relevant and to stay where she would like to be, she has to conform to that.
So how are you fighting against a system that you're conforming to? That so her argument is not making sense.
We can allow people. We can allow
really?
People in our lives to dictate what we wear, how we look, how we walk out the door, like the whole nine yards. And if you're in that industry, where does her voice sit in?
Dave Chappelle fought against the system.
Where does her voice?
Is that the guy that made
the Chappelle show?
Okay,
he walked away from all that money. Because he said, I refuse to allow somebody else to tell my story, and I refuse to succumb to a system that's trying to make me be something that I'm not. And black people call him crazy.
Yeah.
No, he wasn't. That's somebody fighting against the system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But like, even with Doja, she was like, people used to make fun of me for my hair all the time. Every time she put on a wig, the lace was lifting. Push back, you could see her forehead. So then she just cut her hair off.
I'm not,
okay.
Is that
my wife
like,
walked around with short haircut all her life. She just started letting her locks grow. My wife has short haircuts.
Okay, but that's what I'm saying.
I don't care about, nobody care about that. It's the, what I'm saying what I'm, is
she's
that,
not always, like, always, like,
so,
oh, people are saying that I have bad hair, let me get better hair. She's like, no, I'm gonna just cut it off.
Okay,
like,
so, but that's so, her, but that's her decision.
But here's my thing. Why are you cutting your hair? Because someone so, else
exactly.
said.
Exactly. That's my point.
Because someone else said.
It just made her feel free.
No,
did now it? They have nothing make to talk about.
Did
now it? They have
her...
nothing to talk about.
Yes, they do, because now they're talking about her cutting her hair off.
Right. But people
so
want,
again,
people,
it's
people
Holly weird.
Talk.
It's Holly weird.
About you all the time, no matter what you do. If you do X, they're going to talk about X. If you do Z, they're going to talk about Z. People are going to find something to talk about you in every... There is no way, no how that you can please everyone
exactly.
at every time. You cannot do that. So why do you alter yourself because someone else don't like it? I'm going to be me. I am plain Jane, boring. Am I boring?
You're not boring all the time,
but
baby.
But I am who I am, and if people don't like it, that's
no,
on them. Because
I'm boring sometimes,
because
but I don't care.
But at the end of the day, I'm gonna walk in my own truth.
That's
because
it.
At mm-hmm. the end of the day, I'm the only one that can make me happy. No matter, bro, you can say right now, I hate that hair color, and I'm gonna say, okay,
it's my hair color.
I hate them locks. Okay, it's
right.
me. It's
right.
what makes me
exactly.
me.
Exactly.
When do Doja Cat and whoever else in the system, Lil Nas X or whoever, walk in there? Own truth and not let no matter what society or what other people say about you be
determined
make you into this mold of mess that you can't even figure out.
And then that then now people want to commit suicide. People want to, you know, the people don't that's where that stuff happens at. Literally, you know, child stars, young stars, this the suicide rate is so high that
it
it's ridiculous
it
because they don't. Your boy, and because we got to get ready, we went over an hour when we said we were going to stay in the hour. Justin Bieber, he is finally telling his truth about what the industry did to him as a young man. He came from Canada. He tried to make music. He went under Usher. He did all this stuff. They sexualized that little boy.
They definitely did.
And now he's talking about the molestation and the things that he went through in the industry because he wanted to make this money.
But it wasn't even his fault.
Of course it wasn't.
Because I
of course
like
it wasn't.
Even when I was growing up and like Justin Bieber, oh my gosh, Justin Bieber, I want to do this to Justin Bieber. And I'm like, he's a kid.
Exactly.
Like, he's definitely, before he even hit 18.
Exactly.
And I'm
so
like.
So that's what I'm saying. So, and like my wife said, we got to be careful. So when we say demonic, we might, it doesn't mean her. It just means a demonic system that people fall into. And the sad part about it is everybody want to be a part of Hollywood.
Yep.
Everybody. But I need a Grammy. I need an Oscar. I need a this. I need a that. Why?
It also goes
why?
Back. It also
why
goes
do they determine
back.
Your greatness?
It also goes
it's
back
a bunch
to,
of pedophiles. It's a bunch of pedophiles.
It also goes back to loving yourself.
Exactly.
And knowing yourself and being able to stand in that Hollywood system, however that system may be, and maintain who you are, still reach your goals without
exactly.
letting people alter you so much
that you can't.
You're unrecognizable. That's why most child actors and actresses and stars throw up on drugs and
they
alcohol
up.
Because it becomes a way of
escape. Yes.
Learn, teach your children, if that's the life that they want to be in,
don't
learn to love yourself. So when you step into that, know what your boundaries
that's
are. Know how much you will and won't give.
Exactly.
Know how much of who you are you want to give away. I'm not giving away none of me. Not
Dave
to him.
Chappelle said it best. He
not
said
to nobody.
His dad told him, "What's your number? What are you? How far are you willing to sell yourself for success?
$4."
And that's the thing. People like Lil Shannon just said, it makes you feel good. Okay, those awards make you feel good. But how much of you do you have to give up to make to,
I think
to
it's
make
just,
that?
It's more than just making them feel good. I think it makes them feel credible. Like they're actually
who are these people sitting on this board to determine that?
But it's the same thing with like people are like going back to the education. I graduated from Harvard.
Exactly.
Like it's the same people just want that status.
Why? Why?
But like I understand what you're saying. Why? Because there are artists that are very successful
exactly.
millionaires and they don't have a Grammy.
Tyler Perry, For instance, they would never give Tyler Perry those accolades. But who cares? He's a billionaire. He owns his own studio. And people still talk trash about the man. And like he said, I don't care. I don't got to conform to what white standard is. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. Why do we have to conform to that standard?
Yeah, but he did the one thing that, you know, society forces a lot of black people to do. And that's dress up as a
woman. Society don't force that. That's been going on for it. It wasn't
black
society.
Men to dress up as women?
It's white men. It's white professionals.
Tom Hanks was...
Come on.
Okay, so wait.
What was that
TV? So basically,
Before Tyler Perry, when he had him and his friends dressed up like women and lived, and they had to dress up like...
Are you talking about white chicks?
Huh?
Are you talking about white chicks?
No, Tu Wong Fu.
Not Tu Wong Fu, but the other one, when he had to live as a girl to live in this apartment complex.
Tom Hanks.
Him and his friend dressed up like women, way before Tyler Perry. What's his name? But that wasn't, that was their thing.
Wait, so you're saying that they had to dress like women in order to be successful?
No, but the thing is, who else? Who was the other one that died? Did Mrs. Doubtfire?
Robin Williams,
one of the greatest comedians ever. It's only a thing that people say that, oh, black men gotta dress up and dress to be successful. No, you didn't mean it, but that's what society says. That's where the narratives came from. That, oh, black men, you can't make it in Hollywood unless they degrade you by putting you in a dress. No. First of all, like Brittany said, it's the arts, right? People wear costumes.
Yeah.
We understand that. You know what I mean? The thing is, black America don't like Tyler Perry because they say he make his movies for women. Okay, first of all, music is made for women.
I thought that it was because he was pushing stereotypical black like narratives, and it's not necessarily true. I thought that's why I didn't like him.
They say it's made for women.
I don't know.
Oh.
Yeah, but my thing is, that's not true either, because in his reality, him growing up, those are stories that he's telling from his perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Just like everybody else tells stories from their perspective. But my whole point of it is, he doesn't care about getting that Oscar or that Grammy. Why? Because he's still eating.
And
he's making more money than some people that got Oscars and Grammys.
Yeah.
Look at what Will Smith had to do. Now they talk about he can't, for 10 years he's suspended from the Academy. Who cares?
He's still making money. Still making movies.
And black people say, I'm not going to never watch another Will Smith movie. You sound real stupid. Mm. You sound crazy. Like that makes no sense to me. Like, come on, because he smacked a man for talking about his wife?
I'm not saying he was right, but...
Whether he was right or wrong, he did it. But I just think that we got to do better as a... Like you said, can you separate the person from the music? Of course you can. Mm-hmm. I can separate several artists, music, or TV shows or whatever from that person and what that person did.
Yeah.
I can do that. The problem is a lot of us can't. And that's when we start, you know, we start pushing people away. Like, again, I would love to sit down and hear that girl's story and understand why she's where she is.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to her. See why she's there. What forced her? What pushed her to that place?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I never liked Kobe Bryant because I felt like he was so arrogant when he played basketball. But when I sat and I watched his interviews and I saw the person, I was like, dang. That's a deep boy. That's a deep brother.
Yeah.
And his faith was unmatched. But it's like people wouldn't have known that because of what they saw
persona,
on TV and the narrative that people were pushing.
Yeah. And so, just like a really, really quick note, I find it odd when like people are like, oh, men have to dress up as women in order to be successful, and like they have to have that one moment. But like men have been doing that. Like if you look back to like Shakespeare time.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All of the actors were men.
Yes.
There were no female actors for a very, very, very long time.
Yeah, because
so
females couldn't even get in the industry.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So all the girl roles, Romeo and Juliet, those were two guys.
Yeah, it was played by men. Yeah.
So, like, it's not that much different to me. to see.
Some of them weren't gay. That's the thing.
No, they're not. It wasn't gay. Some of them weren't gay. It's not gay. It was. That's the what it was. And so for me, it's like when I see Tyler Perry dressed up as Madea, it's the same thing to me.
It was a play, yeah.
Exactly, as when men would dress up as women back in the day because women weren't allowed to be in the
theater. Just like black people weren't allowed to play certain roles, so white people did what? Blackface. So to play a black role, which was crazy to me, you could get a black person to play that role, but it is what it is. You know, I don't care about blackface because there's so many black people doing whiteface right now. But anyway, we're about to end this thing until next season. Bing, bing, bing.
What?
No, we're not cutting it out. We're leaving that in because it's going to go on the audio. Anyway, listen, everybody, if you got something to say about what I just said, leave your comment, like, share, subscribe, hate on me.
Hate on him.
We love you guys. I am your boy, Shady Coleman Sr., a.k.a. The Rev, and
I am Tamika Mallory Coleman, his wife.
And I'm the host, Big Britt.
We'll see you next season. Peace.